the meeting into order. To give us her invocation is Dr. Terry Flowers, the head of St. Philip's, and he will do the invocation. Following that, we are going to have the students of St. Philip's lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And right after that, I want them to recite their St. Philip's Creed that I think is one of the most impressive things I've ever heard. So, Dr. Flowers, please.
Let's pray. Good morning, God. It's us. We come this morning, Lord, and we want to ask you for nothing. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, God, for your patience. Thank you for being better to us than we deserve. Thank you, God, for your blessings over Mike and Mickey and Mary. We ask, Lord, that you continue to allow us to give you honor and praise. Thank you for the opportunity to lead and to serve and to decide and to discern. Thank you for the opportunity to bless the lives of others through our service. For all that you continue to do, we give you thanks. For all that you have in store, we give you thanks. For all that has gone before us and the opportunity to build on that, to be better people, better citizens, a better city and a better country, we give you thanks. We give these thanks to you. Amen.
St. Philip's Creed, look at me. I am more than what you see. Destiny is mine. If it is to be, it's up to me. Society will get in, but only I determine my path. My people have suffered and died for my chance to read and do math. Just as sacrifices were made to make my future bright, it was my responsibility to do things that are right. I'm a star today to pave the way. The community and the world needs my contributions. And success, I will not strength. The bias, the rumors, known as stereotypes, will hinder my growth. I claim dignity and prosperity. My God promises both. Look at me. I am sharp and power and talented and proud without limit. I will use my education to explore new heights. I have a limit if I just put my mind in it. When I say stick it out, I don't mean a hand. I will persevere to play my role in God's mission plan. I will put up, not put down, for my sisters and my brothers. I care for you. I respect you. If I don't, why should another? Success is my right. Failure is my option. I have the voice. The consequences I will accept, for I make the choice. Look at me. Great things lie ahead. Judge me not by what you've been told, but by what's in my head.
Thank you, students. Thank you, Dr. Phillips. I mean, Dr. Flowers, for bringing your students down. Ms. Davis, I think this is something you should be proud of.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mayor. I have some goodie bags that I would like to give to each one of the students for coming out this morning. They will be taking a tour here at City Hall, visiting 911 and I think 311 as well. So, Dr. Flowers, a job well done, and we're going to present them with goodie bags at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Judge Hill, are you Peacock proud?
Don't you see these wings coming out of my back?
I thought I saw them.
And did you notice, Miss Allen, that the person leading was that young woman, future lawyer judge? Did you notice that? Thank you, Miss Allen.
That's great. Thank you very much. Miss Alonzo, you wanted to have a recognition, I think, support.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you very much. Colleagues, I wanted to share with you and with the public, yesterday we lost a great friend of the community, of the city, of the nation. Mr. Jerry Nicholson lost a big fight with his health. He was a friend of J.C. Zaragoza Recreation Center and Park. He volunteered as an advisory council member, friends of J.C. He was known as Jerry from Sundown in West Dallas because he had, or he took care of a store that not only was in the neighborhood, but he would employ the kids in the neighborhood. And we were very proud of him. He also volunteered with boards and commissions from Planning and Zoning Commission, Community Development Commission, and each one he served with for 8 years. So he was a great volunteer, not to mention in the neighborhood, he was also the election judge to get everyone to participate. He was a friend, a mentor, and a family member. He will definitely be missed. And I can tell you, he was my number one supporter. And I just wanted to share that. And I will miss him, and I ask everyone to pray for his family, as he will be missed. But not only that, he will be recognized because he did a lot in the community, for the community, and it continues. One of the most recent or most current is that the J.C. Zaragoza Recreation Center went under renovations and is going to be opening this Saturday, and he really looked forward to being there. But he couldn't, and this will be in his honor. Thank you very much, Jerry Nicholson. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Can I suggest that we take a moment of silence in memory of him? Thank you. Thank you, and God bless. Ms. Rios, with the open microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your speakers with Norma Hernandez, Sean Busari, Roy Williams, Harry J. Flowers, and Murphy Presley. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When the time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, and please state your name and address for the record. Your first speaker is Norma Hernandez.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Honorable Mayor Rawlings and distinguished ladies and gentlemen of the City Council. As you may be aware, for the last 3 years, my parents and their neighbors have been involved in the fight of their lives. We've been engaged in defending our rights for freedom. We've been defending our property rights and the right to own our homes and our American dream. Growing up, my parents always said, life can be compared to a high mountain filled with rocks and other ups and downs. When my parents arrived in Dallas, they faced and climbed many rocks that were present to Mexican and African Americans at the time. Their most recent journey has been a tough climb, and the view from the top is not a pleasant or a beautiful sight. At DIZ's mountain, untruthfulness fills the air, and promises are broken with impunity. Campaign promises, where I will be strong on ethics and transparency. Our citizens deserve someone who will stand up for what's right, keeping our city honest. But how can what happened in February be honest or right? In February, it was said to the citizens of Dallas that the city was not happy with the way DIZ handled the O.M. Roberts issue and that you would continue to work with our neighborhood, Mayor Rawlings. Now the message is, I didn't make any promises, and O.M. Roberts is going on as planned, and that you're not stepping in any way. When threats of a lawsuit were presented,
some prefer to take the path of least resistance, even when lives were at stake. Others, like Councilmember Grayson, Hunt, and Griggs, know that integrity sometimes requires being confrontational and means standing alone in their beliefs. We honor and applaud you, Councilmembers Grayson, Hunt, and Griggs, for standing up for your beliefs and for standing up to the DISD bully. You listen to our voices for justice and honesty while others ignored and silenced it. It's been said it's not what you say, it's what you do. And real leadership is all about solutions. But doing nothing speaks volumes, Mayor Rawlings, especially when solutions for O.M. Roberts are available. But again, integrity and confrontation will have to interfere. I recently heard that it's time to be the safest city in America and that it's time to embrace our neighborhoods. So I ask you, how can our community and children be safe when their lives are in jeopardy? And how can we embrace our community when it will forever negatively be impacted? Ladies and gentlemen, Brent Brown of the BC Workshop researched 149 elementary schools here in the city of Dallas. And out of those 149 elementary schools, O.M. Roberts will be the only school with a satellite parking and with geothermal fields in between their homes. So with that said, we reached out to Board President Lou Blackburn, and we met with him Monday. He's given us till tomorrow to come up with solutions, ideas, a plan. He's given us to tomorrow to come up with funds for the 8 properties that DISD owns. He's given us to tomorrow to approach a landowner that could be a potential future parking lot. So Mayor Rawlings, we're asking you, do as you said. Don't let my parents down. Please continue to work with our community. Continue to work with DISD. These residents have integrity, and we want a community, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Sean Buzari.
Good morning, Honorable Mayor and City Council. After our meeting with Mr. Blackburn with the Dallas Independent School District, we were given a new light of hope. One of the things that I've embraced in my lifetime was my father being the best friend of Al Lipscomb. Al Lipscomb always believed that we never give up, no matter what, and never give in. Although when we came here, there seemed like the road had ended, we kept on. We'll never give up. With all of the information that we've gained, not just with what we know about our community, but other communities going forward, we will continue our endeavors to educate, to understand, and to advocate. The biggest thing on our part has been advocation. And now that we've learned how, we've learned the people to contact, we shall continue. With that, we hope that you remember going forward that working from the inside out was more important than working from the outside in. We are the ones on the inside. We know better than anyone what our needs are. And the only thing that we needed was to remain a community, to have neighbors, not parking lots. That's all we ask. We ask for a wonderful school. We ask and that we supported that. But now we're saying today, Mayor, we still need your help. We have until tomorrow. That's our deadline. We're reaching out. We hope that you reach back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Roy Williams. Mr. Williams will be followed by Terry J. Flowers and Murphy Presley.
First of all, I'd like to say good morning to the council. Roy Williams, 5881 Prestonview Boulevard. I'd like to give thanks and praise to the grand architect of this universe. I'm here today to speak about the Dallas Municipal Judges and the Judicial Nominating Commission, also known as the JNC. and also to bring attention to the consciousness of this nation. It seems to be a diligent, concerted effort move on minorities in this country and to rescind the achievements that we've made, Mr. Mayor. And so I would like to make four simple and clear points on this topic, which are all backed up by the documents that I've handed out, which is public record. The judicial recommendation made by the JNC for full-time judges was followed by this council exactly in 2004-2006. Then things went very wrong. In 2008, two African-American candidates recommended by the JNC was passed up by this council for a Caucasian with a far lower score. In 2010, it gets worse. Two African-American candidates recommended by the JNC once again were passed up for a Caucasian who had a pitiful score of 5. The African-American who should have been appointed had a score 5 times higher than the Caucasian who currently serves as a judge in the city. The council who resided in this chamber up until 2008 would have seen things differently and would have respected the JNC's advice. Number two, the scores in the last vote taken by the JNC in 2010 were manipulated. A new arbitrary variable was integrated into the scoring scheme. The potential recommendation could have been grossly altered as a result of the person or persons who perpetrated this never-before-used scheme. Number three, it's intriguing that when the Dallas Morning News reported the volume of tickets written by the Dallas police has steadily fallen for years, that the city hires additional full-time judges. 2006, 9 full-time judges appointed. 2008, 10 full-time judges appointed, 4 were African-American. 2010, 11 full-time judges appointed, 3 were African-American. With Judge Lisa Brown forfeiting her bench, there are only 2 full-time African-American judges in Dallas. Why do less African-American judges get appointed as the city appoints more and more judges to handle less and less cases? Why should a current full-time judge, this is item number 4, why should a current full-time judge sit in on every JNC meeting? There's a full-time judge appointed to the JNC in August 2010. Lo and behold, he just happened to be the judge whose JNC scores were dropping precipitously in 2008-2010. What a convenient way to save someone's job. Maybe the city of Dallas' own code of ethics could be instructive here. Section 12A-4, quote, unfair advancement of private interest states, and I am paraphrasing, a city employee may not use his official position to unfairly advance personal interest by securing any form of special consideration, treatment, or advantage beyond that which is lawfully advisable to every other person.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
So, Mr. Mayor, I would like for you to look at this and take it into consideration. God bless.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Terry J. Flowers. Mr. Flowers will be followed by Murphy Presley.
Good morning. Murphy Presley is not going to be here this morning. I'm Terry Flowers, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is the address of St. Philip School and Community Center, where you've just seen some of the future leaders of our world. I'm here to express our concern and opposition to an attempt to change the name of Pennsylvania Avenue. That has been our address for many years and the addresses of residents of that community for many, many years. We're opposed for a number of reasons. Number one, it's our address. Secondly, it's the most prominent address on earth, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Third, we've learned that it takes 14 different departments to touch this issue from the city. We're opposed to it because there are expenses related to it and time absorbed by it throughout the city. We're opposed to it for the standpoint of the confusion that it brings to those who are coming to our state fair or the Cotton Bowl or anything in that community, because there's an exit for Pennsylvania Avenue coming off of I-45. We're opposed to it for many reasons, and for me, the best gift that you can give me is the gift of time. I'm stopping less than my 3 minutes to give you the gift of time, but the last reason that we're opposed to it would be the students who aspire to reside and occupy and lead the other 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Flowers.
Your next speaker is Murphy Presley. Murphy Presley is not present. Susie Lee. Susie Lee is not present. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. We will consider consent agenda now.
Yes. Well, we will first do approval of the minutes of the April 11, 2012 City Council meeting.
Yes. We have the motion and second. Any edits or additions? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now for consideration of the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 34, 36, and 37. Item 35 is being pulled as an individual item, and addendum items number 1 through 6. So you will be approving consent agenda items 2 through 34, 36, 37, and addendum items number 1 through 6.
We got a motion and a second by Ms. Coop. Ms. Carraway made the motion. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to take a moment on agenda items 24 and 25 to say some thank yous on behalf of Ms. Hunt, who wasn't able to be here this morning. As far as the Woodall Rogers Deck Park, the Clyde Warren Park, we want to thank so much and acknowledge the gifts that have come from the foundation and all those who have worked so hard to make this happen, especially Jody Grant. And then I'd also like to say thank you to Robert and Maureen Deckard for all that they've done to promote the parks in downtown Dallas. And their gift today is allowing us to update the downtown parks master plan, which is so needed because of all the changes that have been occurring in downtown for the last decade. So to those folks, we'd like to say a huge thank you.
And thank you, Ms. Grayson. I'd like to reiterate what you just said because I think it's so important. Our parks downtown and over Woodall Rogers are helping us redefine our city. And this could only take place with public-private partnerships. And private individuals like Jody, John Zog, Tex, and Trek came up and made that happen, and then, as you said, Mr. Deckard has had a tremendous passion. I think we opened the Belo Garden shortly, so I'm very excited about that, and thank Ms. Hunt for her leadership in that process. Thank you. Next item.
Item number 35 is authorized acquisition from Susan Wright Key of approximately 47,754 square feet of land located near the intersection of Wheatland and Houston School Road for the Wheatland Road Improvement Project. We do have 3 speakers signed up to speak on this item. The first speaker is Christina Petrie, Robert Petrie, and Marianne Burnett. Individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Katrina Petrie. I reside at 2310 Bonneview Road, where Honorable Carolyn Davis is my representative. And I'm here to speak specifically about the location that Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Tennille Atkins is my representative. That is in District 8, 1801 East Wheatland Road. And my goal this morning is to give you a snapshot of what we're doing out there, unlike some of the land that's around us that's undeveloped, it's just flat land. Skyline Ranch is a business thriving. As we speak, there are hundreds of little ones, and I'm just so excited about St. Philip. Head Start of Dallas is there this morning with about 500 youth, and there'll be an additional 500 youth there tomorrow. There were 150 there yesterday from the high schools. That's what we do. School picnics, family reunions, company picnics, meeting planning, weddings, quinceañera. I don't know another facility south of the Trinity that is as diverse as we are in providing the kind of service we provide. So it's more than just open land. We purchased the property. My husband's going to go into more details here in a second. I know we're not allotted a lot of time. but we purchased the property years and years ago to develop it, and we're in the process still of developing it, and it is in no way at all opposed to Ms. Key's acquisition for her land. But we do take issue with some things that is going to affect our ability to do business at Skyline Ranch. We've been doing business there, as I said, for nearly 19 years. We serve 77,000 people a summer, 5,000 of which are free. St. Philip is on that list, of course, as so many others. And I'm going to allot the time, and if he can have it, that would be great. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Robert Petrie.
Hold on, Mr. Petrie, but just call it.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, call it.
The next speaker is Robert Petrie.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir. I apologize.
Good morning. My name is Robert Petrie. I have been a positive influence in the city of Dallas for its bringing economic development. The Dallas Auto Auction in 1991, I was able to get the Dallas Auto Auction to come to Dallas from Grand Prairie when the city of Dallas was against them coming, and they were able to bring hundreds of millions of dollars to this city and thousands of jobs. We purchased Skyline Ranch in 1993. It was a dilapidated facility that had no use. What we hear about today is the city of Dallas is widening Wheatland Road. The city officials came to us and said that the engineer said that they would take an equal amount of land from both landowners on the north and the south, in which is Ms. Key's property is on the south. And we find out that they're taking 40 feet from Ms. Key and 15 feet from us. The 15 feet that they're taking from Skyline Ranch will make our building nonconformist, because when you back the property line up, a fire truck cannot turn into our property to service our building if it's on fire. What we've done also, the water line that we ran 2,850 feet at our expense to do business in the city of Dallas. The city of Dallas is not going to bring a water line. What they said that they would do, they would dig up our water line and replace it. If you dig up our water line and replace it, why not bring a water line with the road? I contacted the city of Lancaster and other cities and asked them, if you were building a thoroughfare, wouldn't you bring utilities along with it? And every city said that any time they would build a road, they will bring infrastructure, needed infrastructure. So our property is adjacent to the new UNT campus. We have 90 acres. The Dort Station will be placed on the backside of our property. We feel that it's unnecessary for the city to take the 15 feet from us and would affect our growth and development of our property. They could take if Ms. Key is willing to sell her property, take another 15 feet for her property, because it's just vacant land. Our business is thriving. We are developers. When the UNT Dallas, when it was thought about coming to Dallas, they came to Skyline Ranch and interviewed us. They asked us, would this be a good place for the college? The person that purchased the property and sold it to the city of Dallas, they came to us. We took them on horseback to see the property before they purchased the property. So we've been a very positive force in this city. We try not to come up here, but this is the time that's necessary for us to come, because we need a solution to the problem that we face. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Marianne Burnett. Marianne Burnett is not present, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Atkins. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Petrie and Penny, for coming out. Your Skyline Ranch has been a great economic opportunity and development in Southern Dallas. And I was just going to put on record the issues before you is
not pertain to their property. The issue before you today is a piece of property across the street, and that's Susan Wright, which have agreed to sell her property. I believe that in the future, their property will probably come back to the council at a later date. I'm going to move this item forward. And before I move it forward, Ms. Petrie, what we're going to do, I want to make sure Jill Jordan and some of the other staff get with you pertaining to your water line. I know that back in 93, that 28 feet of water line that you paid for out of your pocket, I think it's fair, colleagues, that if we do decide to dig up the street and put a water line in, I think we should at least be able to put a water line back in there to make sure the water line is it fits for that development. We're not going to look at today, but in the future, I think Jill and Mary, we need to look at the water line. Because right now, most development, when you do a street, you generally put fire wheels there. And if Jill Jordan is around, please come forward, Jill. Yeah. Jill, I guess the issue is number one, there is a water line there now. It's in the middle of the street, right?
Right. It's a substandard 2-inch water line.
It's a substandard 2-inch water line. And I hate a fire break out with a 2-inch water line. You know, our fire truck could not plug into the 2-inch water line. So if we tear up the street, I guess if somebody, are you over the street? If there would be forest, who would be in public works that can give some questions based on water line? Would that be you, Jill? Who would that be? Yes. Okay. Well, let me put on record. What I want to bring back to me is all staff pertaining to the water line. There is a 2-inch water line there now. If we try to rule up, that 2-inch water line is not going to be adequate to make sure that development, that area is not there. So I want to make sure staff get back with me and say, what do we do? I'd hate to tear up a 2-inch, tear up a ruin and put a 2-inch water line back in the ruin. It don't make sense to me, unless someone can clarify that. Okay. Do I have a second?
Thank you. Ms. Davis, do you have a second?
Yeah. I'm going to second, but I want to make sure, and this is in Mr. Atkins' district, Jim, the purpose that Penny and Robert are here, they have concern about their property. And I know Mr. Caraway talked about saying that if they're coming, I don't know, in the next year or two on that side of the street of their property. So the concern is that they have concerns, and who will address their concerns? Can you take to the mic, Mary, please, ma'am?
We'll bring all this back to you with a report on the water line and his concerns both.
Okay, and so you'll bring it to Mr. Atkins.
I'll give a copy to all of you directed to Ms. Atkins.
Okay.
Sure will.
And so the question to Penny and Robert, do you guys understand what they're going to do here in the near future when it comes to your property?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, we will delay this particular item. We will get back to Mr. Atkins, and we will bring issues.
Yep. On this particular item, we're going to vote on this item to go forward. His address, this item hadn't came up. This item pertains to Susan Wright, which we already negotiated on her line. We're going to go forward with this particular item.
Okay, but I heard him make a request as regards his.
But his not here yet.
And do something with hers instead of his. So I really would like to resolve what we're doing, and let me see if I can resolve it before the afternoon's over and bring it back to you on this item, okay?
Right.
I was not. I thought I heard Mr. Petrie make.
Well, let me correct you. On September the 21st, April 11th.
Just be brief. Go ahead.
Okay, April 11th, it was a hearing for condemnation of our property on Wheatland Road.
Right.
And we were told by staff, not assess that the it would be our property would come up today, and we find out it came up April 11th from the real estate department. So we are here today because of that.
And they got a letter.
Let me suggest this. Okay, as opposed to doing this real time, let's table this. Okay, let's go meet with them, meet with you, and then we will reintroduce this issue this afternoon.
I don't have a problem with that, you know, but my concern is number one, Mary, that we do have a item here today with Susan Wright Key, and she agreed to do something. We have we're going to make sure that item would not get tabled. I'm going to move on that regardless.
May I ask a question? Mary, are these two separate issues? Because they're saying they received a letter about their property that was coming up today. Is their property different from what we're going to vote on?
That's why I need to this afternoon to go resolve the different pieces of this, and I'll get that answer for you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Garraway?
Thank you, Mayor. And to the Petries, let me say, and I'll try to be a little short about it, and I'm glad that it's going to have a moment for Ms. Soon to go and you all try to work this thing out. I want to be on record to say that this has been a feud for a long time. And I'm just talking straight. It has been something that has gone through Al Lipscomb. It has been something that has gone through the late Councilman Fantroy, and the Petrie Ranch has been there. It's been a battle over this particular area where the college now exists. Whatever the case is, I would ask you all, when you do, Mary, go back and you all begin to talk. Let's try to iron out the problems that we had with this in the past, because that is what's not on the table today, are the problems that they had in the past, how we were looking at that particular area, the plans that we had, how the Skyline Ranch was left out of the plan for whatever the reasons were. But at the end of the day, that particular block of land where we have the development, Runyon Springs, UNT, and all the way to Wheatland, there's a need to have a total discussion, Mayor, and to the Petries, whatever part of your responsibility would be, then you all would have to stand up to deal with that. I'm only speaking forward so that now, today, finally, under the leadership of Mr. Atkins and everybody, that you can put this thing squarely on the table and get Skyline Ranch and that entire area and development on one accord. Okay. I want to be on record with that. Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Garraway. So we'll table this. We'll bring it back after Ms. Soon has some work. Next item.
Next item is number 38, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You do have several nominees for individual appointment to the Board of Adjustment. Scott Hounsell is renominated by Councilmember Griggs. Clint V. Nolan is nominated by Councilmember Allen. To the Civil Service Board Adjunct Member, Dina D. Stroh is nominated by Mayor Rawling. Permit and License Appeal Board, Daryl Baker is renominated by Councilmember Griggs. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Josie Orozco is nominated by Councilmember Griggs. For full council appointment to the Housing and Finance Corporation Board, Richard Meditz is nominated by Councilmember Margolin. You also have some chair nominations by Mayor Rawlings, Randy Skinner to the Ethics Advisory Commission, Neil Sleeper to the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board Farmers Market, B.H. Mike Morgan to the Reinvestment Zone 8 Board Design District, and Robert Prigine to the Reinvestment Zone 10 Board Southwestern Medical.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Motion is approved.
I need to read the following statement, which applies to item number 39. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 39 is authorized on-site reconstruction of two homes in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program statement for the properties located at 1434 Claude Street in the amount of $103,000 and 10141 Oakwood Drive in the amount of $103,000. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We have 2 seconds. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items for this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will adjourn at 9:44 in the morning. We will reconvene at 1 p.m. This afternoon. Thank you very much. All right, I want to call our afternoon session of the City Council meeting of April 25th, 2012. Reconvene at 1:05. I'd like to recognize Mr. Kidane.
Thank you, Mayor. I was back in lunch and I saw a big, beautiful cake back there, and it hasn't been cut yet. So we've got to do this before we can get that cake cut. So let's do it for Dwayne. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Dwayne.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Then whoever cuts the cake, make sure we save it some pieces so it's not all gone.
All right, 2 minutes. Let me first say I never declare how old I am, but there's a cake in the back, and because the cake is in the back, and because I enjoy serving with my colleagues so much and serving the citizens of this city, I will now make a declaration that I am 60 years old. And that's remarkable. My hair was black when I got started. Now it is gray. So thank you all for that, and we're going to have a party. It starts tonight at the Omni.
You don't look a day over 59.
Hey. All right. Thank you all. What did you say, Paul? All right. Bring everybody some cake.
All right, thank you. Ms. Rios, folks, we had an item from this morning. I think it was item number 35.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Why don't you reread that into the record, and we will pick up in that issue that was tabled.
Yes, sir. Item number 35 is authorized acquisition from Susan Reitke of approximately 47,754 square feet of land located near the intersection of Wheatland and Houston School Roads for the Wheatland Road Improvement Project. You did have Councilmember Atkins make the motion. Councilmember Davis seconded the motion to approve the item.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, you want to update us?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. We went back and discussed the issues. The issue before us today is to acquire some property, and that on property owner decide to sell the property. What I'm going to do, I'm going to instruct staff to go back and talk to Mr. Petrie and his lovely wives about their property in the future. But this is a good acquisition, and this is over the master plan, which is the water line that we got proposed in the whole master plan. So with that.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. Let's move to our afternoon agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have your zoning consent agenda item, which consists of items number 40 through 49. Councilmember Grayson has indicated that she wants to pull items 40 through 44 and item 48 for individual consideration. So the consent agenda item will actually consist of items number 45, 46, 47, and 49. I will read those into the record.
Please.
Item number 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a renewal of specific use permit number 1729 for an open enrollment charter school on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the northwest side of Garland Road between Eastern Road and Lockwood Boulevard. Item number 46 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR Community Retail District on property zoned in R-5A Single Family District and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a commercial amusement inside use for a dance hall on property zoned a CR Community Retail District and an R-5A Single Family District on the northwest corner of Singleton Boulevard and Peoria Avenue. Item number 47 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a handicapped group dwelling unit on property zoned in R-10A Single Family District on the northeast line of Wadsworth Drive, north of Ledbetter Drive. Item number 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a child care facility on property zoned in R-7.5A Single Family District on property bounded by Mercedes Avenue, Clement Street, Monticello Avenue, and Stillman Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation on the items that were read into the record? The CPC is recommending approval. Any in opposition? Are there any individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Ms. Alonzo.
I just wanted to take this opportunity, sir, to talk about item number 46 and thank those that were involved as well as communicating with the community about this issue. And thank you very much, sir. Move for approval.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of a non-premise district activity video board sign on property zoned plan development district number 619 on the north side of Main Street, west of North Irving Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 20 notices to property owners with insurance via their request, received 3 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain the motion.
Move
approval. Your motion is second. Ms. Moderno, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. I'm sorry. I didn't see your name. And we have one opposed, right? Thank you.
Item number 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of a non-premise district activity video board sign on property zoned plan development district number 619 on the south side of Elm Street, west of North Irving Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the air request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you. I'd like to move to close public hearing and follow in the CPC's recommendation and approval on item number 41.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Coop. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? 1 opposed. Thank you. Motion is carried.
Item number 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of a non-premise district activity video board sign on property zoned plan development district number 619 in an area bound by Pacific Avenue, St. Paul Street, Elm Street, and North Irving Street.
Mr. Mayor, within 34 notices, property owners within 300 feet of the air request, received 3 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any individuals in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and follow CPC's recommendation and approval of item number 42.
We have a motion, Ms. Hill, second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One no. Motion is carried.
Item number 43 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of a non-premise district activity video board sign on a property zone plan development district number 619 on the north side of Main Street, east of North Eckert Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 22 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received one reply in favor, none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and follow CPC's recommendation and approval of item number 43.
We have a motion and a second, Mr. Koop. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One opposed. Motion is carried.
Item number 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for installation of an on-premise district activity video board sign on properties on Prime Development District number 619 on the southeast corner of Elm Street North Field Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 218 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. Received no replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and follow CPC's recommendation and approval of item number 44.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? One opposed. Motion is carried.
Item number 48 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1659 for an alcoholic beverage establishment used for a bar, lounge, or tavern and a commercial amusement inside for a Class A dance hall within Planned Development District number 619 for mixed uses on the south side of Main Street west of South Irving Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 23 notices. Property owners have adjourned to their request. Received one reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the renewal of SUP number 1659 as approved by City Planning Commission with the SUP to expire on April 25, 2014 with no automatic renewals.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have Mr. Atkins. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now with your individual designated zoning cases. For items 50 through 53 and 57 through 62, I'll read the following statement. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR Community Retail District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in R-7.5A Single Family District on the southwest corner of Lake June Road and Burrito Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 20 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 3 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. We do require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Yes. I move to close the public hearing and approve the zoning change with deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant with the order and deed restrictions to return on a later date. With this, move approval.
Second.
At 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 51 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 512 for a public school in R-1.5 acre ACA, single family district uses on the south corner of Woody Road and Siegelville Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 64 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. Received 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor, and the item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
I move to close the public hearing and follow CPC recommendation of approval. So moved.
We have 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and expansion of Plan Development District Number 811 on property zone Plan Development District Number 811 and RIR Industrial Research District, our NARCAS 7.5A Single Family District, and a RR Regional Retail District on property generally bounded by Interstate 30, Westmoreland Road, Fort Worth Avenue, and Pinnacle Park Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 103 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request, received 9 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. The item is required to
just one speaker.
I'm sorry. Please state your name and address for the record, sir. You will be speaking for 3 minutes.
Larry Good, Good Fulton and Farrell, 2808 Fairmount in Dallas. Thank you, Mayor and members of the Council. This PD 811 was passed in September of 2009. And since that time, our client has purchased additional property, and we originally reopened this PD in order to add those properties to it and to make a few subtle changes that would clean it up and make it better. What you have in front of you is a vastly revised ordinance as a result of work that we did with city staff, with City Design Studio, and we feel it's a better ordinance. It was a lot of work, but staff helped us greatly, and what you have, I think, is a better job. So we're pleased with it and available to answer questions for you. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Suzanne Kedra, 901 Main Street. We've been working with staff diligently on some last-minute revisions just as it relates to wordsmithing. And I just want to make sure I'm on the record that the caption in Section 102 as it relates to some of the acreage and the legal description, I did get a confirming email that that would be corrected in the ordinance, and then also Section 124G, and we are in agreement with those changes as noted in that email. I just wanted to get it on the record because I didn't quite have a copy of it yet. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. The item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Planning Commission recommendations for approving PD 811 with the following changes. Delete gas drilling and production and medical infectious waste incineration as permitted uses. Add SUP to car wash. And then amend the definition of wind turbine to read as follows. Wind turbine means a wind-driven turbine for generating electricity primarily, but not exclusively, to serve the energy needs of the building site. Wind turbines may be attached to a building or be an independent freestanding structure. Wind turbines mounted on a building may not exceed 30 feet in height above the roof. Freestanding wind turbines may not exceed 100 feet. And then I'll turn this into the city secretary.
We have motion and second in 2 seconds. Thank you. Any other discussion? Ms. Hill.
May I speak directly to Mr. Griggs?
Please.
Mr. Griggs, I'm going to vote no, not because of merit, but because I don't understand what you just said. And if I don't understand something, I won't vote for it. And I can't, in this context, abstain. If I could abstain, I would. But I know the city secretary is going to tell me that I cannot. And so,
I'll just provide some context.
Please.
PD 811 is the canyon, an extension of Pinnacle Park to the east, and it's designed to be a mixed-use, high-density environment. So these amendments are really just to remove some of the extreme industrial uses. For example, gas drilling and production. Also, medical infectious waste incineration. Those two uses really don't go with a high-density, mixed-use, walkable environment. Also, you know, in southern Dallas, there's issues often with car washes. And I know this applicant is not planning on investing all this time and money in this equipment car wash, but if the property was ever to change hands for any reason, I think it's appropriate that the car wash have an SUP so it could have council review and citizen feedback. Lastly, the way the PD is proposed is the wind turbines by right go up to 240 feet. That seems a little bit high. So we worked with staff and we brought down the wind turbines down to 30 feet if they're on a building and 100 feet if they're not. I mean, if they do want to put in a wind turbine farm, which isn't my understanding, none of the drawings show wind turbine farm, and require 240 feet wind turbines, then they can come back to the council. So that's basically the amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Ms. Hill, you want to
thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Griggs, thank you for explaining it to me. I will withdraw my objection, but as I indicated initially, I won't vote on something that I don't understand. Thank you very much for taking the time to explain it to me.
You're welcome. If anyone else has any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for extending the courtesy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane.
Well, once he explained it, it brought up a question for me. Who owns the mineral rights on that property for them to be able to say you can't drill a gas well there? Does the owner own the mineral rights?
Yeah. Direct that towards staff.
I really can't respond. The applicant may be able to. Bottom line is, it's not really preventing them from accessing those rights. It's just preventing them from drilling within the district itself.
How can you do that if they've got mineral rights and they want to drill a well? I mean, how can you say they can't drill a well there? I don't care who owns the property, it's who owns the mineral rights.
It's a land use decision of the council, and that'd be up to y'all.
The property's in North Oak Cliff at the boundary of West Dallas, adjacent to West Stevens Park Village, which is next to Stevens Park Village and Stevens Park Estates. So it's in a very much a high density, a lot of residential around it, already housing on this property near schools and as a land use decision. That's my motion.
Well, Mayor, I'm saying that I don't know if that's legal to say you can do that. I don't know law that says that we have the right to refuse drilling a well on a piece of property.
And, well, I think that's a legal question, Mr. Perkins. Does somebody want to?
I think that's fine.
You want to come to the mic?
Please.
I don't have the same question.
Yeah.
Do you want the applicant can put some information to shine light on this?
We're okay with that change, so we are in agreement with Councilman Griggs's.
Okay, thank you. And then there's a legal question.
So applicant's okay with the change? Because, I mean, this is going to be a high density. They've already put in two apartment complexes, mixed-use center. We're looking at all this development along the interstate. These uses, the applicant right now is not planning for infectious waste center. They're not planning to drill there, and they're not planning on putting in a wind farm. So it just makes sense that the pretty pictures we saw match the zoning.
Can I speak?
Yeah, well, please, Mr.
That's not my concern. My concern is that the applicant doesn't have the right to refuse that if he does it on the mineral rights. And that's where my concern is that whoever owns those mineral rights may choose to drill. The applicant doesn't have that right if they don't own the minerals. So, and probably there will be no drilling there. I'm not saying that. I'm just bringing up a legal point that it could be legal down the road if I own those mineral rights and you came here and said there won't be any drilling on that property, you're going to have to deal with me. So,
I thank you, Mr. Cadane. Do we have a
no.
That answer to that question, Mr.
No. I don't, Mayor, I'm sorry. We've just found out about this, or at least I think John found out about it earlier today. So I don't have an answer for you, Mayor. We're talking through some of the issues.
I think the question was, the motion and the ordinance, the SUP that we created, is it legal for us to do that?
And Mayor, I don't have an answer for you right now. We're discussing some of the issues associated with
it. Mr. Atkins. I will ask the same question, Tom. The point is that if there is a legal issue and it might bind some legal deal, I think we should at least table it to come back and let our attorneys review that. Is it urgent that we had to pass this today? I don't want to buy some legal issues going to come back and hunt us because we put something in there. If it's a legal issue, and we need advice from our attorneys. But it is a legal issue that came up.
Applicant's counsel is aware of the issue. I talked to him on the phone a few days ago.
It's a legal issue for us. That can we do this? That's my concern. And I think we need to listen to our attorneys and see if they don't have an answer to us right now. I don't think we should go forward until they come back and say there is no legal issue.
Go into executive session on the issue. If there's a legal issue, and we're about to
But you don't.
Hey, hold on here. From a process standpoint, do you have something that you want to talk to us about in an executive session on this matter? Is there anything of substance? Either that, or I need you to say what we're voting on is legal.
I can't say that what you're voting on is legal. I don't know all the facts, Mayor, and I haven't done the legal analysis. I'll be happy to go into executive session and answer the questions and express my concerns.
Will you have information in that executive session, or are you just going to tell us the same thing you don't know?
There'll still be many questions, I think.
How long do you need to get the answer? And as another point, I don't know what the confusion is, because I've been in touch with staff and told them about what I was going to make, and staff typed it up. This didn't appear today. In fact, we've also talked to applicant's counsel on the phone about this.
It sounds like the applicants are fine with this.
And Costum and staff have said there's not an issue, too.
I think Mr. Cadane asked our lawyers, are we doing something that is
not legal?
That's legal or not? You know what? Let's do. Let's table this for and let's bring this back to the end of the agenda. Okay. Let's do that. Okay.
Thank you.
Is that all right, Mr. Griggs? Okay, and we'll bring it back at the end. Thank you. Sorry to get this through. Yes, Ms. Grayson.
We need to postpone it, Mayor, not table it. Postpone it till the end of the meeting.
I used the wrong term. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ms. Rios, call the next item.
Item number 53 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-district within Planned Development District Number 784, the Trinity River Corridor Special Purpose District, and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a restaurant with drive-in or drive-thru service on the south corner of South R.L. Thornton Freeway, 35 East, and South Riverfront Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 12 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of the land within 200 feet of their request, a 3/4 vote of council is required to approve this.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. This item does require 2 seconds and a 3/4 vote.
I will entertain a motion. This item number 53.
Yes,
53.
David Cossum.
Okay, he's already done.
Colleagues, this is a property. I know Mr. Baldwin, I think you're the representative in the area for the consultant for the area. This property is on the corner of Cadiz, or about Cadiz and South Riverfront. To my knowledge, there is really no development happening at this point, correct?
That's correct.
And until, I guess, 24 hours ago, I didn't know that the three-fourths vote was going to be enacted, correct? Can you just give me a little bit of
background? Right, I found out about that last night as well. What it is, it's an existing convenience store with a drive-through beer barn in it. My client, he purchased the property, think he could do a drive-through in there because there's an existing drive-through to put a Taco Bell. It turns out when he went to go get a building permit, he couldn't because it's in a form-based district and drive-throughs are not allowed. So what we're requesting is permission to create a sub-district to allow a drive-through for a limited with an SUP, so it will go away once development starts occurring down there. Until the levy thing gets settled and development starts occurring, it would be a shame to have a vacant piece of property down there. And we're getting rid of a drive-through beer place to put in a national credit tenant.
And it's a fairly new building, correct?
The building's going to be totally renovated. It's an existing building, but it's going to be...
No, I know, but the building is pretty much new. It's
right.
Not an old building.
No, it's...
And currently it's vacant. And colleagues, it is right at the exit of Riverfront, correct? As you come from Oak Cliff.
That's right.
Okay. And you're planning to do a Taco Bell?
In half of it, right. And totally renovate the place and clean it up and, you know... Right now, the SUP is for 3 years, so in 3 years you have to come back and see if development's occurred. Maybe it's not appropriate to have a drive-through at that location.
And that's my question to your client, is that area, we know that it will start to be developed, and that they know, and I want to make sure that it's put on record, that when that time comes, the Taco Bell probably will not be...
That's correct.
Will not exist. So I move to approve this with 3 years SUP, and that you would come. It wouldn't have an automatic renewal.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second. We just need 1 second, right?
Two.
We got two. I'm sorry. We had Mr. Atkins as well. Any discussion? Hearing none, we need a vote. Is it electric vote or just
a vote?
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 54 is a benefit assessment hearing on street paving, storm drainage, water main, and wastewater main improvement for street group 06-456, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessment and a construction contract with Texas Standard Construction Limited, lowest responsible bidder of 7. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry. We do have one speaker.
Please.
If you'll come up, you can go ahead and state your name and address and whether you're in favor or in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister Trina Trish. Dallas, Texas. I'm in opposition of number 54, which is calling for the city to hire a contractor to do the work. Unfortunately, I wasn't given my constitutional right to speak on number 30 and 31 of the consent agenda, which you hired contractors to do work and they came back and asked for increase. Right here you're saying you want to hire contractors and these are the low bidders. What am I saying? My question is, how much of the work can Public Works do and save the city money when you are hiring contractors? I also would like to know, have you ever thought of a quality-based system in which you would hire engineers, college professors, professors and other people to sit on a committee so that they can oversee when these low bidding companies come in and ask to do work. And then the next thing you know, after you hire them, they're coming in, they're asking for increase. That's an ethical issue. When you give companies all these low bids and then they're coming back and now you're saying, okay, now I can scratch your back because I'm an increase, you're no longer the low bidder. So I oppose it, and that I would ask that you would look it over and you would see if Public Works could do the work as opposed to all this money you are funneling to all these contractors that are coming back and asking for increase. I also would like to ask, since I didn't have the opportunity before you consented on some agenda items, that you would establish or seek to establish a quality-based system based with engineers and professors and other people who can oversee what these bidders are putting in, see if they are assessing everything that is necessary, and then saying, okay, they got it down pat, this is your low bidder. I thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing. This is the third round on these of the street group for District 1 using 2006 bond funds. I move to close the public hearing and accept agenda item number 54.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 55 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation, MSD, to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by RP Lot 9, LP, and RP Downtown Parking Properties, LP, located near the intersection of Wood and Irby Streets and adjacent street rights-of-way, authorize issuance of an MSD ordinance, and support the issuance of an MSD certificate to RP Lot 9, LP, and RP Downtown Parking Properties, LP, by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and prohibit the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. By state law, I'm required to read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please come up, state your name and address for the record? Thank you.
My name is Cyril Mitskevich, 4003 Norhill Boulevard, Houston, Texas. We are representing the applicants, RP Lot 9 LP and RP Downtown Parking Properties LP, and I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition of the item? Are there any speakers? If you'll please step forward, state your name and address for the record and your position. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Rich Sheridan, 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. This, I think, is a continuation of the concern expressed by Chevy Cadane. I am a licensed professional engineer in the state of New York, environmental engineering degree, master's degree. I've done quite a bit about in the area of water treatment, wastewater treatment, and this falls really in the category of technology and water rights. There's technology out there that can bring water down to megohm quality, the purity necessary to service the semiconductor industry. So I have a problem with the prohibition of the application of technology that's available to anyone as long as there's the checks and balances and the city reviewing the situation, checking the situation with the appropriate fees applied. So I don't think anyone, any government entity can ban the use of groundwater without consideration of what's going to be done in terms of if there's a purity or a contamination issue. The technology is there, and if the applicant wants to spend that money, in some cases the money may be so expensive that he or she won't do it. So I appreciate that.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to to close the public hearing and approve item number 55.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 56 is a public hearing on the renewal of the Dallas Juvenile Curfew Ordinance, which provides daytime and nighttime curfew hours for minors, and at the close of the hearing, consideration of an ordinance amending Chapter 31 of the Dallas City Code to readopt and continue in effect the Dallas Juvenile Curfew Ordinance. Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition to the item? Please come forward.
Richard Sheridan, 2022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. I was here when the discussions occurred concerning this very important issue with our youth. Things have happened since the enactment of this ordinance. I refer to Florida, with Trayvon in Florida. We have too much engagement of law enforcement or wannabe law enforcement with our youth. And I respect the Dallas Police Department greatly. I don't think I'd be here or alive without the Dallas Police Department. We need to, I think, take a second look at this and maybe have a Texas two-step process. Maybe it's a little too overbearing now in the light of what's happened with Trayvon, in the light of what's going on with DART, with police, increased police presence, and some of it is necessary. There's no question that some of it is necessary. But we're in a situation in our communities, in our cities. There's a lot of tension out there. And any wrong approach of a police officer, law enforcement, to youth, something bad can happen. So I ask that you pause and reflect on what's happened since this ordinance was passed and maybe make some modifications. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Second. That's right.
Second.
Okay. Ms. Madrigal, is there a second? Some conversation. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. Can someone from the police department come up, please? On this agenda item, I want to ask you three questions. What is the daytime curfew? What will be the daytime?
The daytime curfew is Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. on school days.
Okay, so 9 to 2, you're saying that they're supposed to be in school at that time.
That's correct.
Now, if they're homeschooling or having to catch the bus, what if they're homeschooling? How does that work?
Homeschooling is a defense prosecution.
Huh?
Homeschooling is a defense to the ordinance.
Meaning that they have to be with the parents?
No. They should be with parents, yes.
Okay. But from 9 to 2, they're supposed to be in school or have some type of note if they're going late to school?
That's correct. There are several exceptions.
Okay,
that.
What are those? For the rest
a doctor or dentist appointment, suspended from school, valid holiday, any issue that they can bring up that would be valid reason for not being in class.
Okay, and or they can have something from the parent to the school.
That's correct.
Okay, now what's the nighttime?
Nighttime is Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. Saturday night to Sunday morning, Saturday morning through Sunday morning, midnight through 6 a.m.
Okay, so Monday through Friday is from 11 to 6 in the morning?
It's actually Monday through Thursday night, but it goes into Friday, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Okay, so Monday through Thursday is from 11 to 6?
Yes, ma'am.
And then on Friday is from?
Friday night, Saturday night is midnight to 6 a.m.
Okay. And then what's Sunday?
It's the same. It's 11 p.m. to...
Okay, so it's okay.
So it is actually Sunday through Thursday, yes.
Okay, and we've had this already... In effect, how has it been? Has it worked for our city?
I think it's worked effectively. The police department's stance was that we were trying to change the behavior of juveniles, not necessarily punitive, but just try to change the behavior so that they weren't victims of crime and also weren't committing criminal offenses for public safety issues. We believe that some of the indications are that we have done a good job of changing the behavior. Since we enacted the daytime hours, the number of truants that we've picked up on the streets has dropped 20% each year since we've added the daytime hours, which tells me patrol officers are finding fewer and fewer kids out in the streets during the school hours, which is a positive change.
Okay. And I understand that, you know, I know the Chief Brown is continuing to talk about doing some type of youth activities for those kids from 10 to 2 in the morning, giving them something to do, like basketball camps or baseball camps or something. So how will you guys work with that?
As I understand it, Chief Brown has been really pushing the PALS program and expanding that to provide assistance to the community.
Okay. And then what have been your advertisement? How did you let the parents know that there is a day and nighttime curfew in place?
Well, we did a lot of public service announcements when it first went into effect. And 3 years ago when we did this, it had a lot more coverage. Where we expressed to the parents that this was occurring. We also met with many different groups, including the school district, to let them know that this was going into effect.
Mm-hmm.
We actually brought the ISD on board with us on this issue.
Okay. And then the train. If the kids are on the train, well, how would that work?
Kids on the train, well, we allow DART to contact us sometimes, but we still have to be the one that takes enforcement action.
Okay.
But
thank
yes, the trains are also have been.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And let me say, as related to this particular curfew, one, Ms. Pemberton, Edna Pemberton, fought extremely hard years ago to assist in getting this curfew enacted. So I want to give that recognition. And further, I want to say that I think the Dallas Police Department, you all have been doing a tremendous job, and with the numbers that have been shared with us even this morning, it's working. You will find my support with gusto for us to continue. We must do what we're doing, and it's for the betterment of the kids, the children. It's something that has worked, something that we need to step up and continue. And I will be extremely supportive and extremely appreciative of the job that we're doing. Just want to say that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carraway. Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Who do I address this to? The attorneys? I have a question on Section 31 to 33 in A. I just want to make sure that it's noted because it's not on the... on the ordinance itself, it just says from 11 p.m. on it. I know he mentioned it, but I just wanted to tell you what we have in front of us. It doesn't indicate. It says 11 p.m. on Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday until 6 a.m. or the following day. And it says 12 a.m. until 6 a.m. on any Saturday or Sunday and 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. on any Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. So it doesn't indicate any Friday between 9 a.m. and, as he mentioned earlier. I just want to make sure that you know that, and we add it.
9 a.m. to what?
Section 31-33.
What do you think is
there's no Friday?
That's because it begins at midnight.
Correct.
On Friday night.
But it doesn't say the
that.
So shouldn't it be worded right here? That's the one we're talking about, right? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Thank you, Ms. Alonso. Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Colleagues, you will recall that we talked about this extensively 3 years ago. Mr. Carraway is correct. The genesis of this idea was now federal judge, then city attorney Sam Lindsay, who worked very hard with Ms. Pemberton to get the nighttime portion of it. 3 years ago, I had a significant problem in both halves of my district. One was in a particular spot in Pleasant Grove, and another was in a specific spot in South Oak Cliff. Lieutenant Henson, are you still a lieutenant?
Yes, ma'am.
Lieutenant Henson at that time had been working very hard on this, but I started pushing because I had an extreme problem. Lieutenant Henson, Chief Scott, Chief Cato, and Levi Williams gang tackled my issues. I had kids who were not going to school. They would go there in the morning. They would enter the front door, turn around and come out the back door. They had a spot where they would go to, and they were burglarizing and driving up my crime stats about 35%. Chief Scott, Chief Cato, Lieutenant Henson, DISD, the neighborhood associations, the immediately surrounding schools, and several of my neighbors all came in. We talked about this, and with the strong help of Lieutenant Henson and Chief Scott, said this is a way that we can make a difference. And the council was good enough at that time to see the wisdom of that and get this daytime portion passed. That was what we had to work on 3 years ago, the daytime portion. When we passed that daytime portion, I don't know what happened throughout the city because I don't worry about that as much. I know what happened in those two spots that I was concerned about. That crime went way down to almost zero in those spots. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. Mr. Evans is nodding his head because he also was in those meetings that I made them go to for hours and hours and hours. I appreciate what y'all did 3 years ago in getting this work done for me. I am most appreciative of what it has done in the ensuing years, and I cannot tell you how much I want this extended. Thank you, particularly you, Lieutenant Hinton, because you really did stay with them. Chief Scott is standing back there, and she did too, but you really did the heavy lifting. Thank you very much. Thank you, Council.
Mr. Cadane?
Lieutenant Henson, tell me what happens during daytime curfew if you stop a child. I mean, if you didn't have the curfew, are you not going to stop the child anyway? I mean,
no, sir. State law under the education code requires an officer, if he sees a child at school age out and about during school hours, to stop and ascertain why they're not in school.
Right.
That procedure's still in place. But the problem is with the state education code, the truancy laws are very, very weak. And you could, you know, your job there is to take them back to school and release them to the school. The school can take up to 10 absences from them before they're even going to file a case with the truancy court at the JP level. So it's not changing their behavior. It's not influencing their behavior. So the school recognized that the education code wasn't as effective as we could be with some sort of corrective action immediately, so that when we found them out, we could take that enforcement action, and then we could release them to the school to also deal with them as a truant on the truant issue. And with that approach, that we were hoping that we would change their behavior and we would put more of them in school. And with those ends, the school district was completely supportive of how we were going about that.
So now you have some actual enforcement behind the law.
Yes, sir.
Where there wasn't before.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, we passed this in May of 2009 and to change the behavior. But it's also, these children need to be in school for their safety. They need to be in school. And I think it did help a whole lot. It also addresses, say, convenience store or wherever they hang out, that they have responsibility to call and make sure that that these kids are in school, and if they're still hanging out, that they make sure that they call the police as well to make sure that these kids are safely in school. So it not only addresses the responsibility of these children to be in school, but also places where the students could be hanging out, possibly hanging out, and, you know, partaking in whether it's video games or whatever. They need to be in school, so it also addresses those businesses as well. And Ms. Davis, I think you had a great point in terms of really promoting the PAL programs, the Police Athletic League, and more businesses are getting involved. I just spoke with the mayor the other day about a gentleman on Maple Street wanting to start up and partner with the police to have a lead on Maple Avenue. Ms. Hill, I think you're right. I think this has definitely changed the behavior of not only the students, but businesses near and around schools. And it really has made the public made aware that between 8:30 and 2, these kids need to be in school. And if you see kids, I think that you definitely make sure that the police know that they're out hanging around. They need to be in school. So, Mayor, I would like to just second on this item.
Thank you. We've got a motion and a second and a second and a second. So all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Items number 57 and 58 need to be considered collectively. I will read those items together. Item number 57 is a public hearing on an amendment to the tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 2 City Place Area TIF District Project Plan and reinvestment zone financing plan Project Plan 2. Number 1, increase the total City Place Area TIF budget from $46,126,414 total dollars. Number two, approve a grant program and funding in the amount of $2,851,000 total dollars for such program. Number three, decrease the street utility and intersection improvements category to $22,067,889 total dollars. Number four, increase the extension of the McKinney Avenue trolley category from $1 million total dollars to $1,300,000 total dollars. And number five, approve all related matters hereto to reflect these amendments under the authority of the Tax Increment Financing Act as amended. Item number 58 is an ordinance amending ordinance number 21465 as amended. Two, number one, increase the total City Place Area TIF budget from $43,275,414 total dollars to $46,126,414 total dollars. Number two, approve a grant program and funding in the amount of $2,851,000 total dollars for such a program. Number three, decrease the street utility and intersection improvements category from $22,067,889 total dollars to $21,767,889 total dollars. Number four, increase the extension of the McKinney Avenue trolley category from $1 million total dollars to $1,300,000 total dollars. And number five, approve all related matters hereto reflect these amendments under the authority of the Tax Increment Financing Act as amended. The items do require 2 seconds. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition to the items read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis?
Yes. Carl, I have one question I just want to ask about the TIF dollars. And I see here on the background, two questions I want to ask. What's the grant program?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
It's on the background. It says the grant program.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the grant program is just that with the older TIFs,
mm-hmm.
the state law didn't just allow TIF expenditures for certain items like environmental remediation, whatever. State law has changed, and they essentially said that you can create grants and fund grants for any item that is that supports economic development. So it in essence allows us to make a judgment about anything that's going to support economic development instead of restricting the payment, but it's all on a reimbursement basis. In other words, the developer has to expend the money before and then to reimburse, just call the grant.
Will this be allowed for all TIF, or just this is thinking outside the box?
It's something that all of our newer TIFs, we have it incorporated in the ordinance when we formed them, but in older TIFs like City Place, it was not part of the original ordinance.
Okay, I have a TIF. We got some, Mr. Akin has some TIF, and we have some TIF in the southern sector. Is this same, can the same program be allowed as we try to expand economic development?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It can be, I mean, we had been trying to incorporate it in all of our TIFs, and so in all of our new TIFs we already have it, and in those we don't, when the opportunity arises, we just incorporate it, but it's across the board.
Okay, I would like to make sure that we can put that in the South Dallas TIF,
sure,
the Grand Avenue TIF, as we start doing some new development in that area,
yes,
that this, quote, grant program can be allowed. I do like it because it helps with economic development, with those development where the developer can get a reimbursement back from what they put into the
fees. That's right. Yes, that's no problem with that, Ms. Davis.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to close the public hearing and approve agenda items 57 and 58 collectively.
A motion and a second. Are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 59 is authorize the establishment of the City of Dallas City Place Area TIF District Grant Program to implement the project plan and reinvestment zone financing plan for tax increment financing reinvestment zone number 2, City Place Area TIF District, pursuant to Chapter 311 of the Texas Tax Code, to be administered by the City of Dallas Office of Economic Development to promote economic development within the City Place Area TIF District. This item will require 2 seconds. Are there any individuals in the audience? I'm sorry, this is a public hearing. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item, either in favor or in opposition?
No
speakers, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Motion to approve item number 59.
We got a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 60 and 61 need to be considered collectively. Item number 60 is authorized, number 1, a development agreement with Forest City Residential Group, Inc., to dedicate TIF revenue supporting the development of Forest City West Village project, located at 3700 McKinney Avenue, located in Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone 2, City Place Area TIF District. And number 2, that the City Place Area TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate up to $2,851,000 from City Place Area TIF District revenues in accordance with the development agreement. Number 61 is a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing District Reinvestment Zone Number 2, City Place Area TIF District, to reimburse Forest City Residential Group, Inc. for eligible expenditures pursuant to the development agreement with Forest City Residential Group, Inc. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Mr. Chair, please step forward, state your name and address for the record.
Yes, Richard Sheridan here, 224 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. I may be wrong. If I am, I'll exit immediately. Is this the same Forest City that the city gave $70 million plus or minus to 7 or 8 years ago to develop the Mercantile Building? Is that the case? If so, I will continue. If not, I will leave. Okay, thank you. I'd like to know how successful the return on investment of $70 million plus or minus to Forest City was. I don't think it's been that successful, but I don't have the facts. Downtown, I don't think it's achieved what we wanted it to achieve with the investment we've made with tax incentives and upfront money of 70 plus or minus million. What's the occupancy of the Mercantile Building at this point? How successful is the Mercantile Building? We're being asked to give Forest City more money. I think before we give them more money, we need to find out how successful they've been with the money we've given them. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve items 60 and 61 collectively. Further, I move to add an additional requirement in Section 6 of the resolution to state sidewalks will be constructed in accordance with the dimensions shown on the site plan exhibit attached and, in any case, will be no less than 25 feet 8 inches on McKinney Avenue, 18 feet 6 inches on City Place West Boulevard, and 20 feet 6 inches on Blackburn Street.
Thank you. Do we have a second, Mr. Atkins?
Second.
Me too, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
We have two seconds, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, this came before the economic development. I think it was a great opportunity that we have some property that could build density and build close to downtown. I think that the developer is going to be a great developer in the city of Dallas, and I think that with the economic development, we all pass this unanimously. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'm very supportive of this. I just wanted to ask and get a little clarity at some point about the $300,000 grant. Is that grant the same type of grant that would be available to the Lancaster Corridor TIF? And I just want to ask that. I'll go on the record on that one. The grant that is being authorized within this particular TIF is the same kind of grant that's allowed in the newer TIF.
Yes.
And I just wanted to ask that because I'd like to move forward with that as well as we continue to move forward. Okay? Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mayor. When we reviewed this in economic development, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but I remember seeing it and saying that this is one of the quickest paybacks for the city that I've ever seen. This is an incredibly good deal for the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. And I just wanted to give my personal thanks to Neil Sleeper and Larry Good for working with me on this language. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 62 is authorize an amendment to the development agreement with Oak Creek Partners Limited in Tax Increment Financing District Investment Zone Number 2, City Place Area TIF District 2, Number 1, at a budget category, McKinney Avenue Trolley Improvement, in an amount not to exceed $300,000. Number 2, reduce the street utility intersection improvement category by $300,000 from $8,578,860 to $8,278,860, and number 3, extend the project deadline from December 31, 2011 to December 31, 2014. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak either in favor or in opposition of the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Atkins.
Move to approve.
With a second. With a second, Mr. Cadane. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried. I'm sorry. Was Ms. Grayson, were you going to say
yes,
something?
Sir.
Did you want to had a note that you might want to decide on 62?
No, she's
okay.
Added it all the way.
Okay. Do we need two seconds?
2 seconds, please.
Okay, we've got Mr. Cadane, Ms. Asso, second. So I'll take the vote once again. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Why don't we revisit item number 52 now?
Thank you.
Mr. Griggs, what do you want to do?
Move to hold it under advisement for 2 weeks.
Okay. Hold under advisement for 2 weeks. Okay. Do we need to take a vote on that, or is that just we do?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
However, we did have a motion to approve with an amendment, so that could be withdrawn, the second withdrawn.
He's pulling his motion.
Yeah, I made the first motion, so I'm withdrawing the first motion. The motion is to hold an advisement for 2 weeks.
Ms. Masato seconded. Any discussions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now with your afternoon speakers. Your first speaker will be Steve Smith, followed by Zumba Lunks, Trina Trish, Richard P. Sheridan, and Robert Ceccarelli. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Steve Smith.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, City Council members, good day. My name is Steve Smith. I'm an associate of Dr. Raphael Pandozzi, who's the administrator of the Rose Garden, building located 2312 Grand Avenue in South Dallas. The building at this location is significantly historical in nature for the city of Dallas because it was designed by Mr. Howard Meyer in 1938. Mr. Meyer was an architecture student for Frank Lloyd Wright and Lee Cobersewer, two acclaimed and prominent great architects. The property was originally...
Could you just put the mic a little closer to you?
Yes. I'm sorry. Is that better, Mr. Mayor?
Okay.
So the property was originally a house of God. It was Tiferet Israel Synagogue. And since acquiring the building in 1973, Dr. Pandozzi has totally refurbished the building and taken excellent care of the historical property, its grounds, and surroundings. The building and property have been so well maintained that Dr. Pandozzi has received letters of recognition from the American Institute of Architecture, South Dallas Redevelopment Committee, and the Dallas Historical Preservation Committee. In addition, the building is recognized as one of the federal historical landmarks of South Boulevard and Park Row. Inside the property and around the perimeter, the good work of Dr. Pandozzi can be seen, and the property stands as a bright spot within a challenged section of South Dallas. From 2001, the property was zoned as Industrial 2. During that time, it has been used as art studios under commercial lease for artists, for art galleries, for the expression of artistic creativity. In 2001, the zoning was unfortunately changed from Industrial 2 to multifamily. They were not made aware of the change and had no ability to challenge that change at the time. We feel that this change was implemented seemed to be prejudiced and unfair, and just in the way that it was carried out. They were only made aware of the change in zoning when in 2006, following a complaint, the city attorney forced a compliance ruling under the change of zoning from Industrial 2 to multifamily. And since that time, Mr. Pandozzi, has spent $60,000 to outfit the building with fixtures to comply with the zoning issues, and also he's paid about $8,000 in fees and fines to the city of Dallas. In our opinion, the change from legacy zoning of Industrial 2 to multifamily must have been an administrative oversight or misplacement of a zoning ruling meant for another locale. This opinion can be substantiated by the casual observer, who, if you review the area, see the property is abutting a major freeway, Highway 45, and all north of the property really is just commercial development and industrial zone buildings. Even directly across the street, there's a stone property where they refine stone and polish stone. Due to the change in the zoning from Industrial 2 to multifamily, it's caused a loss in excess of about $500,000, which could have been taxed by the city of Dallas. And we're really just here today to say, you know, we'd like proper consideration and hopefully swift action in reversing the zoning decision that was made a while ago from, again, Industrial to multifamily. We'd like it to go back to the original if we can. With such a reversal of the zoning, we can use the properties for something, you know, let's say that is economically valuable to the community and, of course, that will provide tax revenue. So,
Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mayor. I know about this particular property. This property had the fire marshal close it down about 2 years ago because it had so many code violations. The fire marshal is now looking into that property again with the same violation. There was a church that was there at that particular property. They had been working with Mr. Pandozzi. The fire marshal moved them out because it had so many violations. The zoning requirement has changed under PD 595, and coming in June, we will be updating the PD so it will stabilize and continue to bring better economic development into our community. Thank you so much.
And maybe I can work with you.
No, sir. Thank you. You can take a seat. Thank you. Scareway.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just echoing some of what my colleague was saying. This particular establishment has been in the community for all my life, and we've never really known what was happening behind the tall gates. But I'm glad to see someone come forward. I put a face now with that particular piece of property, so I'm looking forward to getting even more information.
Thank you. And Ms. Davis, I just want to say thank you for your effort. You've got a lot of work to do, and you're working hard to make this area clean and good. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunk. Mr. Lunk will be followed by Trina Trish and Richard Sheridan.
I'm going to start this hearing back over. Mayor of City Council, Ozumba Lunk. Blacks have no constitutional rights in the city of Dallas and probably nowhere in America. Not really. Not really. We don't have the same rights as my white counterpart. We don't. I'm 66 years old. I remember the 50s. Yes, sir. 60s, 70s. I served as a Vietnam vet, sergeant at 21 years old. Got out before I got killed in Vietnam. Dart J. Albert, police officer, assaulted me. I've been assaulted 2 times by Dart police officer at West End, Westmoreland Station, and others have too. I had some call me yesterday. Please call me again. Your voicemail wasn't working. The city and the county also assaulted me. Police, I had probably a light heart attack. I had a chest problem, cuffed too tight. When I was attacked by gangs, and you want to charge me for deadly conduct and 6 months in jail. Mike Dupree, August 3rd, this deal, set this up against my son. My son been attending 12 years, he's not guilty. Mike Dupree tried to send me to the pen for 6 months for deadly conduct, and he didn't want the witness to come down. He tried to stop that also, and the judge knew it, and everybody else knew it. You use the law to abuse us, but you don't use the law to do the right thing by us. We put elected officials in office, and they don't do anything for us. We are the majority of the poor people. Those we put in office are the minority. You use the law to abuse us, like I said, and you tell us to get a lawyer, but you don't get a lawyer to abuse us. I called the Justice Department under Bush, and I wrote three letters I got back. I said, nothing happening in Dallas. Nothing happening. We can't find anything. No, you're right. Nothing is happening because the so-called Negro said nothing. Something happened to me, dust his pants off, and walk right off. I don't. I'm not a Frisco. I'm not a house boy. I'm a field Negro, if that's what you want to call me. But I stand up for my rights. We need to get a protest here in Dallas. If anybody wants to, we need to get together. You know how to call me. Call me before. We need a march. We need to do something here because you're not doing the people right. I want $1 million from Dallas, the county, and the city. You all did me wrong. You put your hands on me. Keep your hands off of me. I'm tired of you putting your hands on me. You going to pay me putting your hands on me? Okay. Dallas, you owe me $1 million. Y'all didn't let me have my medicine when I was in the jail. I had prostate cancer. You know, I've been gone about a month ago. I took 30 more days of radiation. That's why I didn't come here a month and a half ago, about 30 days. You know, I don't need you messing with me, and I'm not doing nothing. I have no charges. You panic with me about this. You kick with me about this. You have me with my hand. You have me all cocked out. You know what I mean? I don't like that. That's not fair. I don't have no record or nothing. You know, just because I look bad on the street, yeah, I look like a hobo sometimes where I dress. But you know what? That don't give you no right to try to figure me out or try to, you know, what you want to call it, what you call stereotype me. You know, you done me wrong, Dallas, and you're taking property from me right now. What you wouldn't get, pay me what you owe me. You dog me and you're wrong. I'm praying for God to take care of me. He will take care of it. And when he touches you, you will know it. God bless you all, the Christians. Where are the Christian people in Dallas? Tell me, where are you? You need to get up and come on.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Trina Trish. Will be followed by Richard Sheridan, Robert Ciccarelli, William Hopkins, LaCoya London, DeMarcus Offers.
Good afternoon again, Minister Trina Trish, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to speak about consolidating the DMV and the Department of Public Safety. When I received my driver's license in 2010 and they gave me a sheet of paper, as I told you all, when Mayor Leopard sat before my face, I was outraged. I couldn't believe they thought I could keep a sheet of paper for 45 days. I think I'm the first person ever to go and get a hard copy, in which case I just used cardstock and laminated. That is ridiculous. If you can get a school ID immediately and you refuse to give people a hard copy driver's license immediately. By consolidating these two institutions, you will save money immediately. This is the second largest state in the nation. You are shipping paper back and forth, and I don't know who's the paper company that's making all the money, that's keeping all the public workers on furlough days. Nevertheless, it's time to get rid of it, and it's time to start doing something now. Also, you can have the operators who will work at these facilities, and you don't get rid of any servants. What you do is you increase those servants so that they can perform the same task at a certain location, and that's being customer friendly, because then the citizens will still go at one location and get everything done and get a hard copy driver's license right away. Why don't somebody just drive across the border? I've been doing that since I was 15 years old and got my first driver's license. It's real simple to do. Nevertheless, all this money that we're wasting in ineffective utilization of personnel and everything is costing the citizens as well as the employees tax dollars. I spoke of courtesy patrol last week, and just having those same operators tell people about the number they can call in Austin. I was upstairs to fire and rescue and told them, and they said they also have something on there. Insurance that they can call if they have road problems. Well, why not put that on a test so that people can stop utilizing the 911 and fire and rescue and start utilizing the entities that can help? That will save money. Giving kudos to the police department doesn't put food on their table or clothes on their back. Why don't you start? I told you something you can do, the United Way plan, to help Police Chief Brown keep them safe and keep us safe. What have you done about that? I don't hear anybody talking right about now, but people are watching, and they're watching what you're doing. You can think that they're for you because you're honoring them with a plaque, but they say, no, you're for me when you're putting something on my back. You don't hear what I'm saying, but nevertheless, thank you.
The next speaker is Richard Sheridan. Robert Ciccarelli will follow. William Hawkins as well.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Richard Sheridan, 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Title is Breathalyzers in Bars are Better Than Breathalyzers in Cars, in Police Cars. Breathalyzers in bars are better than breathalyzers in police cars. I went to the MAD event, maybe because I'm crazy. Some people have called me that. It was a great event. It has to do with the DWI problem here in Dallas County and across the United States of America. This is a Geico flyer. Since the mid-1990s, nearly 17,000 Americans have been killed and more than 500,000 have been injured in alcohol-related traffic crashes each year. On the average day, 46 people die in alcohol-related traffic crashes, accounting for nearly 40% of traffic deaths. 3 out of 10 Americans face the possibility of being directly involved in alcohol-related crash during their lifetime. Traffic crashes are the greatest single cause of death for every age group between 2 and 33. The total economic cost for alcohol-related traffic crashes exceeds $50 billion a year. And lastly, each year, police arrest 1.5 million drivers for driving under the influence of alcohol. I spoke to 12 different officials, professionals involved with DWIs. Each one of them either really liked, or poker-faced what they saw. And this is what they saw. And I'll use a prop. Because my son got two,
sir,
DWIs.
I'm sorry, we can't have placards or signs.
It's been approved, sir. It's been approved. And the sign says it very simply, breathalyzers in bars are better than breathalyzers in cars.
Sorry, Mr. Sheridan, we just can't do the signs. Just talk to us.
Well, you are violating my right of free speech, and a picture is worth 1,000 words, but to honor you,
I'm
not going to make a thing out of it, but, sir, I did the best I could.
I appreciate it.
The best I could.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I can't hold this up either about the...
You can do that. They didn't say anything about dolls.
Here it is. We have an epidemic of drinking on our college campuses. Okay? And we need to empower our citizens. We need to empower and educate our students. It's been established in Scottsdale, Arizona by a father and a son team. A father and son team have established the breathalyzers in bars. Oh, now somebody say, you're a bad guy, Mr. Sheridan, because you want to promote drinking. Well, Jesus turned water into wine, did he not? Did he not? And would Jesus want the centurions to be outside to arrest those that went to a Jewish wedding, which was part of the culture of the time? No, I don't think so. We need to get away from the predatory aspect of our justice system, the criminal justice system, that preys on those that are stupid or ill-informed or whatever. This is the time. This is the time. There's no question about it. And I've declared myself a candidate for Dallas County Sheriff, Sheridan for Sheriff. Crazier things have happened. Thank you very much. And remember this.
Thank you,
protect our college students, even though they're stupid at times.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Robert Ciccarelli. Mr. Ciccarelli will be followed by William Hopkins, LaCoya London, DeMarcus Offord, Gwayne Wooten, Frank Warren, and Lakeisha Johnson.
Yes, Robert Ciccarelli, 5302 Harry Hines Boulevard. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned something about the District 9 election being ugly. I saw on the internet today there's been a grievance of ethical misconduct against the mayor by DeMarcus Offord. It has to do with coming up Saturday. I don't know what's going to happen, but this election's going to get really, really crazy from here on out. And I'm asking, at the meeting was at the Cotton Bowl at the African American Museum. I saw Mr. The mayor for about 5 minutes. He left. I heard Miss Davis was there, and she didn't come in. If I'm wrong, didn't come in. But I really ask that Miss Davis, if you are able to get your constituents there about the election, because they're going to need your help, because it's going to get ugly. It's going to get Saturday. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Speak to me.
Yes, sir. I don't know what's going to, because I'm involved in it also with Lincoln High School with the extra tutoring after 25 minutes. I saw that Miss Nuttall, her children do not go to any BISD schools. So I just want to get that out there. I'm going to be at the school board meeting tomorrow night to speak. I'm going to be at the Saturday meeting. I just hope it gets to be not too Saturday. I don't know, it's going to be very uncomfortable what's going to happen there, but I just hope it turns out okay. I just want to let you know, the city council, that go back to your district and please promote the 25 minutes of tutoring after each class that Lincoln High School is going to do next year. It's very innovative, and it will keep the students in school for tutoring instead of going outside of the classroom where Ms. Swan and Lincoln said only 20 students showed up for tutoring. So this will be very creative. It will set apart any other district, any other city in the country as far as education in urban schools. It's unheard of. I think it will hit on the money right away with the tenets of the students going from 0% to 100% with tutoring. Please ask your district, your school board members, to please promote that for every middle school and high school in Dallas. I really feel you can see a major change in academics. One more thing, I want to thank Mr. Griggs for coming to the meeting 2 weeks ago, MDHA. I would hope in the near future we will be able to present a proposal in front of the Housing Committee with Ms. Davis, if it's possible, about the situation with the homeless before they get permanent supportive housing. I finally got it, but it took about 12-13 months. And we're going to present something I certainly hope the Housing Committee would like, and that we'll hope the homeless will have some hope before they get permanent supportive housing to stay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ciccarelli. It's good to see you doing good.
The next speaker is William Hopkins, not present. LaCoya London, not present. DeMarcus Offord, not present. Gwayne Wooten, not present. Frank Ward, not present. Lakeisha Johnson, not present. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Meeting is, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for the opportunity, and I wanted to say that this week is Administrative Assistance Week, and I personally want to thank my administrative assistant and secretary as well. And I hope that we thank each and every one of them for the hard work that they have done for all of us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for reminding. Meeting is adjourned, 2:32.